Jesus said there was a particular generation that would see certain things, and when they saw these things, that generation would not pass until his return to this earth to establish his kingdom. Now, the big question is, can we know this generation? Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24:32. Let's take a look at the passage. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So, likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Now, Jesus in verse 31 had talked about his second coming, and then he immediately launched into this parable. You see a fig tree budding, then you know that summer is nigh. In another passage in one of the other gospels, he said, when you see the fig tree or all the trees budding, then know that it's almost summer. It's very simple. You see the trees budding, you know it's almost summer. Likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door, speaking of his second coming. And then he said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So when Jesus said, when you see these things, what things is he talking about? Well, let's go back to the first of this chapter and find out what he was talking about. It's Matthew chapter 24, verse number 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, you have to understand that the temple is on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. This was 2,000 years ago. Herod's second temple stood there at the time. The first temple had been destroyed in 586 B.C. by Nebuchadnezzar. The second temple was built by Zerubbabel, completed in 516 B.C., and then Herod the Great came along about 19 years before Christ and made the temple much more beautiful, much larger, until it was actually said, he that has never seen Herod's temple has never seen a beautiful building in his life. So this was the heart and the soul of the Jewish nation, the pride of the Jewish nation. So the disciples wanted to give Jesus the grand tour. You see, Jesus lived in Galilee about 110 miles to the north, so he wasn't down to Jerusalem often. So they were wanting to show him all these beautiful buildings that had been built. And after they gave him the grand tour, let's read on. Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. I mean, it was like throwing ice water in the disciples' face. It's all coming down. It'll amount to nothing. And the disciples, well, they went up on the Mount of Olives. They left the Temple Mount, went across the Kidron Valley, up on the Mount of Olives, where they could be alone. And the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now, they asked two things. When will these things be? Number one. Number two. And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Jesus then spent the rest of the 24th chapter of Matthew talking about when these things would be and what would be the sign of his coming. Now, first of all, he talked about some general signs. He said there's going to be wars, there's going to be rumors of wars, there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in different places. Well, anybody heard of any wars lately? How about rumors of wars? Famines? Pestilences? Heard of any earthquakes lately? Yeah, I guess we have. But let's be honest. Haven't there always been wars and rumors of wars? Always been famines? Haven't there always been pestilences, black plague? Haven't there always been earthquakes? So you've got to say that all these signs Jesus gave were pretty general, and it's hard to drive a stake in the ground and say, okay, the generation that sees these things shall not pass until everything is fulfilled. That's sort of hard to do. Now, before we leave these things, I do want you to notice one thing. When I was preparing for this lesson, I said to my research assistant, Tani, I'd like to have a record of the earthquakes over the last 100 years or so. So a couple of days later, Tani came back, and she had the earthquakes, what they call historic earthquakes, most of them 6.0 or greater on the Richter scale. And she had them all listed for me from 1901 to 1910, 36. She listed them by decade from 1911 to 1920, 26. And then the next decade, 28, then 40, then 41, then 1951 to 1960, 49, then 61, then 49, then 41, then from 1991 to the year 2000, 62. So averaging about 50 or so, give or take some, each decade for since 1900 until the year 2000. Then she showed me the figure for 2001 to 2010, 425. I said, Tani, are you kidding me? Look at this. This is a dramatic, this is 10 times the average. The scale's just gone off the charts. So I thought that was pretty significant when Jesus said there's going to be earthquakes just before my coming. It looks like that pattern's kicking in right now. However, let's now see if there are any specific signs in this 24th chapter of Matthew, which is also called the Olivet Discourse. It's the most famous prophecy chapter of the entire Bible. I asked myself, okay, are there any specific signs that are one-time events that have never happened before, will never happen again? And when we see those things, then we can drive a stake in the ground and say, okay, that's what Jesus meant when he said, this generation shall not pass until I come back to the earth. Well, I found two things in this 24th chapter of Matthew, specific things that have to happen, and I could honestly say, okay, the generation that sees these things will not pass. Let's look now at Matthew 24, verse number 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso reads, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, in this passage, we see two specific things. Number one, Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet back in Daniel 9:27, when you see that event, stand in the holy place. He even told us where it was going to be. Now, he's on the Mount of Olives, looking down on the Temple Mount, and that's where the temple stood, and the holy place was in the temple. So Jesus said to his disciples, when you see the abomination of desolation down there on the Temple Mount, stand in the holy place, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. So number one's the abomination of desolation. Number two, the Jews in Judea will have to flee, because then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So two specific signs that Jesus said, the generation that sees these things, the abomination of desolation and the Jews in Judea having to flee, the generation that sees those two things shall not pass until everything is fulfilled, including my second coming to establish my kingdom upon the earth. It just so happens that in the present negotiations between Palestinians and Israelis, as they're attempting to get a peace agreement, the two main disputes blocking peace in the Middle East are, one, control of the Temple Mount, and two, control of Judea. The final borders between Israelis and Palestinians deal with what's called Judea Samaria, or the West Bank. You may know of it as occupied territories. So the abomination of desolation is going to occur on the Temple Mount. That's the number one issue in the peace talks. and Jews will be endangered in Judea, the occupied territories, as a result of trying to establish the final borders between Israel and the Palestinians. So Jesus 2,000 years ago put his fingers on these two issues, which are the two foremost issues in the talks between Israelis and Palestinians today. Let's look first of all at this event called the Abomination of Desolation, which must occur on the Temple Mount. There's a prophecy in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse number 7. The Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever." Now, the Temple Mount is a special place. Jerusalem is a special place. And here you see God said, "I am going to put my name not only in Jerusalem, but in this house." 37 times in the Old Testament, God said, "I will put my name in Jerusalem." So Almighty God chose that this was the place he would put his name. Let's go back in Old Testament history for a moment and see some of the things that make the Temple Mount so important. Do you remember Abraham, who became the father of the physical people of God upon the earth, the Jews, and the spiritual people of God upon the earth, the church? Well, Abraham was called to leave his homeland and his kindred to a place that God would show him. So he packed up his wife and family, and they left Ur of Chaldees, and they traveled just being led by God until they came to the Holy Land. They settled in an area called Beersheba, which is about 30 miles south of Jerusalem. Well, in the meantime, God promised Abraham, "You're going to have a son, and in your son, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. His seed will be as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven." Well, Abraham got older and older, and they didn't have a son, him and Sarah. And finally, at 85, Abraham still didn't have a son, and Sarah was 75 at the time, and 95, still no son. Finally, at the age of 100, Sarah was 90. They had this son. They called him Isaac. Abraham was so happy. Sarah was so happy. God had kept his promise. In a way, they were far beyond the age of childbearing, but God did this special thing to let them know that he was fulfilling his promise in a special way in the earth, and that this was a special son. So everything was wonderful. Abraham was happy. He loved this son, Isaac. However, one day God decided, "Now I'm going to center everything around Abraham. He's going to be the father of the physical people of God upon the earth, the Jews, the father of the spiritual people of God upon the earth, the church. I've got to know I can trust this man." So he said to Abraham, "Abraham, yes, Lord, I've got something I want you to do." "What is it?" "I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him unto me as a sacrifice on a place I will show thee." The Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, because he knew that God said, "In Isaac, all of your seed will be blessed." So Abraham reasoned, either God is going to stop me before I do the deed, or else he will raise him from the dead. So the next morning, Abraham heads out. God said, "A mountain which I will pick, I will show thee." So he travels north from Beersheba about 30 miles, and all the time he's looking for this special place and waiting for God to speak in his heart and say, "That's the place." Finally, he topped the Mount of Olives, and he looked over the Kidron Valley, and there was Mount Moriah, and he felt God say, "That's the place." So they went down into the Kidron Valley. He turned to the servants and said, "Stay here with the supplies and with the asses. The lad and I go to yonder mountain to worship and return." Abraham knew God never breaks his promise. And I hope you know that. God never, ever breaks his promise. So they went up on Mount Moriah. He binds Isaac, lays him on the altar, raises the knife over his son. And just as he started down, an angel stayed his hand and said, "That's enough. Now I know that you love me more than anything." Do you know God's going to ask every one of us at some point in our life, He wants to know that he's first. He won't be second, third, fourth. He will not be that in our life. He will either be first in our life or he won't be there at all. So God picked this mountain called Moriah. 1,000 years later, the most famous king Israel ever had, King David. There was a plague that hit Israel because David had numbered the people and thousands were dying. Finally, David ran out before God distraught and said, God, you're killing all these people for something I did. This is not right. Take it out on me, but spare the people. God sent a prophet to David by the name of Gad. Tell David that if he wants to stay the plague, he should go by the threshing floor of Araunah and buy his oxen and buy his plows. Offer us the oxen as a sacrifice unto me, and I will stop the plague. Immediately, David heads toward the threshing floor of Araunah, which just happens to be Mount Moriah. The Bible says that, the threshing floor of Araunah, which is Moriah. So God again chooses this place. David bought it from Araunah. He said, I want to buy your threshing floor. Araunah said, you're my king, you can have it. David said, oh no, I will not offer that unto the Lord, which cost me nothing. I'm not looking for a free ride here. I love God. I want to do everything he wants me to do. So the Bible says he bought the Temple Mount. Moriah is the Temple Mount. A lot of dispute today over who owns the Temple Mount. It's right in the Bible. David bought it many years ago, and it belongs to the people of Israel today. So David bought the threshing floor of Araunah. Then David wanted to build a temple unto the Lord, a house. And God says, no, David, you can't do that. You've killed too many people. You're a man of war. I want my house to be a place of peace and rest. So I will allow your son Solomon to build the temple. So Solomon did. He built this beautiful temple. It was the most beautiful building on earth at the time. And at the dedication, Solomon prayed the dedicatorial prayer. He said, God, if you scatter your people because of their disobedience to the north, the south, the east, and the west, wherever they are, if they repent and turn their face back to this place, I'm asking you to hear from heaven and to gather them again to this place. After Solomon prayed his prayer, fire supernaturally fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice that Solomon had prepared. So this became a very special place to the people of Israel. This is where Abraham raised the knife over Isaac. This is where David offered the sacrifice and God stopped the plague. And now this is the place where God sent fire down from heaven, showing his approval on the new temple here. This is the center of Jewish life. This is the place we come 3 times a year to keep the special feast so that God can know we love him. This is the place of atonement. This is the place where the sacrifices are made. Well, finally, Herod's temple, he built it so beautiful until it was known as the most, it was actually said in Herod's day, he that has never seen Herod's temple has never seen a beautiful building in his life. Well, that's the temple that Jesus Christ was taking the tour of this day in Matthew chapter number 24. And then Jesus said, it's all coming down. Well, 30 or 40 years after Jesus was crucified, the Romans came. They destroyed the temple, burnt Jerusalem to the ground, drove the Jews away. And for the next 2,000 years, there was no temple. So there was the first temple under Solomon, and that lasted 400 years until 586 BC. The second temple was built by Zerubbabel in 516, and that lasted until 70 AD. Then it was destroyed, and no temple until this very day. But the Bible teaches the temple soon going to be rebuilt on the Temple Mount. The Jewish people have been praying 5 times a day for the rebuilding of the temple for the last 2,000 years. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting ready to happen. Now, what's going on right now is there's this big dispute over who really should control the Temple Mount. The Jews say, well, we've got to have it. This is where our first temple stood. This is where our second temple stood. This is where God said he would put his name. And the Arabs say, oh, no, we've got to have it. Let's read what the Bible says will ultimately be the solution. Revelation 11, verse 1 and 2. And there was given me a reed likened to a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, we know that the last 42 months, immediately before Armageddon, is always talked about in Scripture. It's talked about as 1,260 days. It's talked about as times and divided of times. Here, it's specifically said 42 months. In Revelation 13, 5, it says the Antichrist will continue 42 months, the same 42 months. So what's going to happen here? 42 months before Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus, the temple is going to be under Jewish control. Now, there's going to be a temple there because you can't measure a temple if there is none. God told John in the vision, measure this temple. So the temple is going to be under Jewish control. He said, measure the temple, but do not measure the outer court, for it shall be trodden down the Gentiles for 42 months. When Bill Clinton met with Ehud Barak and Yasser Arafat in the year 2000 to try to get a peace agreement, they got almost everything worked out until they got to the Temple Mount. Arafat said, we can't give it up. No way. It's our third holy site. After Mecca, Medina, this is our third holy site. This is where Muhammad ascended into heaven from, according to the theories of the Islamic religion. But Barak said, wait a minute, my people will never allow me to give away their Temple Mount. You've got your first holy site. You've got your second holy site. We Jews don't even have our first holy site. We have to have this. Finally, Bill Clinton, being the practical guy he was, said, look, just share it. And Barak said, yeah, we can share it. Arafat said, nope, won't work. You can't put Jews and Arabs on the same 35 acres. They'll kill each other. And Barak said, let's put it under UN supervision, under international control. It would work that way. Well, Arafat would not agree. So it all fell apart. But this scripture tells us the Jewish temple will soon be rebuilt. Now, Clinton proposed those things in the year 2000. It didn't happen. But in 2011, the Aram Online report, May the 24th of 2011, made the report that the Israeli peace initiative should be in response to the Arab peace initiative. And it said in the Israeli peace initiative, while the Temple Mount and Haram al-Sharif, which is the Arabic name for the Temple Mount, would remain under no sovereignty, wouldn't belong to anybody, or under God's sovereignty, with special arrangements, according to these terms, the Islamic religious endowment would administer Muslim holy sites, that's the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, while Israel would supervise Jewish holy sites and interests. You realize what they're describing here on May 24th of 2011? Exactly what was prophesied in Revelation chapter number 11, verse 1 through 2. So they are proposing right now to settle this sticky, most difficult issue, who controls the Temple Mount. They're proposing exactly what the Bible has to say about it. Now, the Bible tells us that this is where the abomination of desolation is going to happen. The abomination of desolation is described in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 and 4. As a time just before the second coming, the Bible says the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. Isn't that where Jesus said the abomination of desolation would occur? In the temple of God, in the holy place, right? That's what he said in Matthew 24. So he's going to sit there and say, I'm in control here. I'm the ultimate authority here. The Antichrist, the man of sin, is going to do this, and he will claim control of the place where Almighty God said he would put his name. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? I'm saying that the stage is being set right now. They're talking about solving this Temple Mount problem by sharing it. Part of it will be under Jewish control. Part of it's going to be under Gentile control. Don't measure the outer court. That'll be trodden down the Gentiles for the next 42 months. That's the way that they plan to solve the problem. Now, remember what we're talking about. Jesus said, the generation that sees these things, the abomination of desolation and the people in Judea having to flee, that's the generation that shall not pass until everything is fulfilled. Well, guess what? You and I are the generation that's watching these negotiations, and this is what they are proposing right now. Remember what the scripture says, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 34. When you see these things, then know that this generation shall not pass till all things be fulfilled. In the next segment, we're going to look at what's going to happen in Judea. Our 14 lessons now include the United States discovered in the Bible, New World Order is world government, Islam in Bible prophecy, World War III, Israel's God-given destiny, Israel, God's prophetic time clock, Holy Roman Empire reborn, Antichrist and the false prophet, 666 Mark of the Beast, the secret pact between Gorbachev and the Vatican, when all religions become one, the seven trumpets, the second coming, and the kingdom of God established on earth. You want to have all 14 of these marvelous prophecy lessons. If you go through these 14 DVDs, each of them 1 hour, you are going to know more about Bible prophecy than the average student graduating from theological seminary. We need to know where we are right now. Jesus Christ said, I tell you these things before they come to pass, so that when they do come to pass, you might believe. So the number to call is, one more time, 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com.
Consider becoming a partner with End Time Ministries. End Time is preaching the gospel of the kingdom to every person on earth because the end time is now. Your seed helps us share current events and how they relate to the prophecies of the Bible. Call us at 1-800-END-TIME. That's 1-800-363-8463, or go to endtime.com. Join the End Time family today and help us make a world impact because the end time is now.
This is TBN, part of the Trinity Broadcasting family of networks, celebrating 43 years of God's miracles.